Does everyone have an outline for tonight's message? You had one for the morning? Next week you're going to get six of these in a little pamphlet so that you have them all together. I am going to just read three short verses dealing with who we are in the security we experience in Christ from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, where we read these words. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. You know, before just going on, it just hits. How can anyone say that those who have been secure and saved by Christ can, following that, be lost? Even if you went no further than this one snippet of one verse. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Echad, one essence. Well, that's the Hebrew for it, but N is the Greek. Forget it. Father, as we continue to look at the identity of those who are in Christ, we look at the question, who are we? And as each person follows that example to see, who am I? What is my true identity? I pray that you will open our hearts to more deeply grow in that understanding through our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, I wish to make a brief review. I want you to get these points. I want you to have them tight in your mind and your heart. So think about it this way. The answer to who are you is an answer that from which we were forced to go back to Genesis 1 through 3, where we saw who we are in creation, that we are created in the image and likeness of God, but we are not God. We are dust. Remember that phrase I used following that? What was it? Let's see if you've been listening. Dust with destiny. That is right. It's amazing. It's an incredible thought. That's what we are but dust, we read, and yet it's dust with destiny. We are living souls. We are not just a mass of cells. We are not just a physical entity. We are man, male and female, nothing other than nothing, ever, never, ever less than image of God. Even those lost forever are lost as image of God. We went on then to look at sin. Who are you in sin? Your identity is being righteous and blameless, being destroyed, born in sin, as Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead, born dead in transgression and sin. And in the midst of this, we saw the living hope we have through the life that comes through God. As we see it, the seed of the woman bears the one who will come and crush the head of the serpent. There is hope in that promised seed, our Lord Jesus Christ. There is deliverance out of death, so that in the face of our being born depraved and doomed because of sin, God makes a great way of deliverance. God restores, more than restores, infinitely more than restores our personal identity and opens the door to the glory of redemption in Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of death, there's life, there's hope, there's help. But none of this does us any good if we do not avail ourselves of it. If we do not turn to Christ, our identity remains lost, we remain dead. But when you turn to Jesus Christ, then listen to who you are in salvation. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. The love of God, the love that He has for His Son, He now lavishes upon you as Christ's heirs. Fellow heirs with Christ, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. You have peace with God. You have acceptance with God. You are covered with favor and honored with blessing. You're a radically new creation. You're alive forever. What does this do to you when you realize this is my identity? But there's more, because in Christ, you're a friend of God. You have peace with God. The personal choice of God is upon you. You are predestined before the foundation of the world, and you are acceptable to God. The God from whom you were an enemy, forever alien to God, you are accepted in the Beloved by the Father. If you know Jesus Christ, you're being conformed day by day into His likeness. You can't have it any other way. You do not stand static. You're becoming more like Christ, or you're drifting from Christ. You're living by faith in the One who covers your nakedness, so that you are no longer living with shame and fear and dread and blame shifting and irresponsibility. You are made strong. You're made able to face the demons of hell. You are safe. You are secure no matter how hostile the world becomes, because your safety, your security is in Christ. You've experienced, by God's grace, a restoration, knowing Christ, a restoration in which God has given you such a new identity that it deserves a new name. And remember, in the Bible, the Old Testament, the name means the character. And here you have a name that is personal, known by God, given to you that you will know when you stand before God. It's between you and God alone. And it reflects that in the Redeemer, you are a brand new person possessing a new redeemed nature, because you have been bought by the blood of Jesus. As Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man came to give His life as a ransom for many. Tonight, as the redeemed of the Lord, we are coming to the Lord's table. And we are even further strengthened in doing this. We are strengthened as we learn. I trust and I hope and pray that every one of you here are strengthened as you see who you are. I mean, it's an extraordinary reality, because I know how you feel about yourselves, and I talk with you and I hear, I feel rotten, I feel useless, I feel this, I feel that. It doesn't matter. You know what you can do? You can stop it. You can stop the thinking, because it doesn't matter. It's not dependent upon how you feel. It's dependent upon who God is and what He's made you to be. And that's a new person. So don't live by the old man. Don't live by the old feelings. Live by faith, claiming those promises, living in the power of those promises, and in the reality of such a brand new, wonderful, glory-filled life. So knowing and understanding everything I've just said to you, and you do, there's nothing ununderstandable about it, I want us then to look at this teaching, the teaching that we are, who are we? Secure. Who are you? You are a person who is secure. No, I'm not. You don't know how insecure I am. I don't care. You know why? Because you are secure. That's what you need to know. You are secure in Christ. I read that passage in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28 in particular. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Not I give them the possibility of this kind of life, and if they make it through doing everything that they have to do, then they're okay. No, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one is able, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Do you know what this means then for your identity? You will never perish. In Christ, you cannot perish. That should make you be so encouraged, no matter what your outward circumstances are. You will never perish. The death He died to sin once for all so that we might live. For it's by grace we've been saved. The second thing, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. After that somewhat bleak seeming Romans 7, where the good things that I want to do, I don't do. The rotten things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who is going to deliver me from the bondage of this death? And then all of a sudden it's, hey, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he opens the eighth chapter, which for us becomes the eighth chapter, with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is the reality by which you are judged, where the wrath of God comes upon you and sentences you to hell. There is none of that for the believer in Jesus Christ. Who are you? You are a person whose identity demonstrates that you are free in Christ from condemnation. Totally free from condemnation. If you get to talk with people about their lives, if you're interested in doing that, and you don't have to be a pastor, counselor, psychologist, social worker, anything like that, if you talk to people, they will tell you they feel condemned. It's easy to feel condemned. Jesus doesn't deal specifically with that feeling. He deals with something that's far more important. He deals with the condemnation itself. And he says, it's finished. You are not condemned. You know me. You are free. You are free from the snare and the death of hell. Then in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we read, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are those who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, he has a purpose in which he calls a people out of darkness. And everything, follow this, who are you? You are a person in which everything is happening to you. Everything that happens to you is everything. And God is saying, everything that happens is according to my purpose. You don't have to rail against it as if it's something unnatural, something bestial, something evil. I know it feels that way. Our feelings rupture us. Our feelings contravene any of the goodness that might come out of the difficulty, the pain, or even the suffering. I don't want to spend time on some things that I'm reading at this point other than to say, if you want to read a very brief synopsis of an individual who determined how to deal with these battles of life and to face them in a thoroughly biblically mannered way, read simply the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. He had 70. I think later it went up to 99. Read those resolutions. You can find them online. I'm sure there's hundreds of sites carrying those. Read those resolutions. They are resolves by which he lives, acknowledging he cannot do it apart from the grace of God and the Spirit of Christ in him. But nonetheless, he then does it. This is a man who, you read his life, you weep with the number of people in his family killed and harmed and the harm that came to him. And yet, through it all, the glory of God becomes the centerpiece of his entire existence. This can be the way we live. And not only can it be, this should be the way we live. And more than that, this is the way we are meant to live. Please get that. I'd love some other time to talk with you about those resolutions. I think it's something we should consider. Honestly consider. We are not a culture that likes to make the kinds of resolves that are really determined to change our outlook and our life. We need to. They're difficult. They're not easy. But what you can know from Romans 8:28 is this. You can know that everything will be okay. I know that some of you are facing terrible difficulties and disappointments. In Christ, in okay ways that are beyond what you know and what I know, he will cause it all to work for good. In Romans 8:35 through 39, every one of these is listed on your outline. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, shall persecution, shall famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, listen to this. You heard everything that the apostles spoke about. Danger, nakedness, terrors, the sword, persecution of all kinds. In all of these things, we are, does he say we are conquerors in Christ? Is that what he says? No. Dan, he doesn't say that. What does he say? We are more. We are over conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced. And then he goes on to say, here is how deep the conviction goes. The resolve. The resolution. I resolve and I believe. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any power, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of the creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, friends, who are you? You are someone who cannot be separated from Christ when you're in Christ. What about if I want to separate myself? If you are truly in Christ, you do not have the power to do that. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world, and greater is he than you are. You can't do that. But you see, when you're in Christ, you don't want to do that. You may have ups and downs, times of trouble. You may have flirtations with all kinds of horrible things, but God will bring you back. God will restore you. He will keep you so that you are unable to even imagine, I went that far and went that close to the edge of separating from Christ. But for Christ, it was never a reality because he was holding you in his hand, telling you, I will never let you perish. And when we think about our lives, think about what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this thing, that he who began this great work in you will what? Will maybe try and keep it going for a while? Will perfect it. Complete it. Till the day of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Until the end of time. Until Christ's return in glory. He is going to take his people where they begin and bring them through to where they conclude. And nothing will hinder that work of God. That is so exciting. That's what we ought to, that is the kind of contemplation that should fill our minds and our hearts, bathing us in the beauty of the glory and the hope of Christ in us, that he is doing a work that will succeed beyond what we could ever imagine. Not dependent upon us, but dependent upon him. He does it. And in Philippians 3:20, he shows us where this all brings us because he says, with further confidence, our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform, metamorphose our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Do you see what he says as we build on who we are? Not only does he see us through, but he is changing us. Not just changing us. You know, it's not an extreme makeover. The glory of heaven is not, we get there and there's an extreme makeover. Wow, the gray hair is gone. No, it's a transformation. It's a transforming from one form to another, going to another form, which is in the complete likeness of Christ. That's the destiny. Isn't it worth living toward that destiny now? Not just waiting. I can't wait till it happens. No, he says, it is happening now. You are being transformed into the same image from glory to what? Ever increasing glory so that you are just like the Lord. That's what he has for you. That's who you are. You are to be just like the Lord. And then in Colossians 3, why would it matter anyway about how we live? Because as he says in Colossians 3, verse 3, Because you've died. What do you mean, died? You other places, reckon yourself dead. You have died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God. I mean, we are so protected. We're protected by the Father and the Son. That is the protection we have received. That's the security. We are enveloped by Father and Son, the Holy Spirit instructing us how we live with that kind of security and power. Why do we as the church not extend ourselves beyond anything we limit ourselves with? Why do we give ourselves such shallow, meager expectations when this is what He's given us? This is what He's made us to be. This is the hope that's in front of us. You died. As Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's another way of putting it. See, on the cross, we are crucified with Christ. His death, we died in Him. I have been crucified with Christ. What does it mean? I no longer live. But the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith. In other words, we are living by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, it's faith in Christ, not just faith in faith. With faith that things will work out, it's faith in Christ. I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. But in giving Himself, we died. Why did we die? Why did He do that? That's a little drastic, is it? No. It is appointed for all to die once. The death that we needed to die, the death to sin, took place on the cross for all who are counted in Him. The many that He ransoms from Matthew 20:28. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know what you are? Who are you? You are powerful. You are loving. You are disciplined in Christ. That's who you are. I know what you think of yourself. I know what people, we are tempted to. And it's not humility to think I'm just a weaselly, measly, nothing, nothing, nothing. No, He loves us. He has made us to be the image of God. We are in His image. That is not nothing. That is something. That is glorious. That is heading to greater glory. And we have power. We have love. We have a mind that's sound. We can think things through and see what's right from what's wrong, what's good from what's bad, what's yes from what's no. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, you are justified. Who are you? You are just. You are justified by His grace in Christ. There's a present tense that's it's translated as if you think it's an aorist, a past tense. It's not. And it's surprising that most translations do that. It's a justification that's spoken of in a present tense. It's a justification that continues on and on. To be just is to be declared righteous. It's not just not guilty. Just. In the Hebrew, if you went to the Hebrew, there's only one word for just, for justice and righteousness. The same word. So the idea is we have been declared not guilty, and at the same time, been made righteous. He who knew no sin became sin so that we would be what? The righteousness of God in Him. And I think the last one I'd like to cover tonight is in our security is 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe. And the evil one cannot harm him. In other words, we are not given over to sin. It's not the idea that we come to sinless perfection in this life. It means that we are not dominated by a life that lives in utter defiance and disobedience of the living God. We are living for Him because we love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. And it says in that passage in 1 John 4, gave Himself to propitiate, the hilasmo, propitiate our sins. That means to take the wrath that our sins deserve, to take the judgment upon Himself so that who are we? We are no longer judged. We are no longer expecting wrath. Do you realize how that frees you up as a person? You're not expecting wrath. I mean, I hope there's no one trusting Christ here who has this faint sense, oh, I really think I'm going to get smashed around when I die. I mean, no, if you know Christ, the wrath is gone. If you're loving God, if you're trusting in His Son, don't believe the lies of the devil. That's why He says He's keeping you safe from the evil one. The evil one wants you to think you're rotten, you're refuse, you're disgusting, you're useless, you're hopeless, you're meaningless, and you're not any of those things. You are safe, you're secure, you have a life that has begun in Christ and will be completed perfectly until that day of Christ Jesus, and you are free. Luo, you have been loosed. You have been set free in the way that matters, because you're free through the ransomed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, to wrap it up, in Christ, I would just say, friends, since you're so secure, put away the insecurity. Throw off the fears. Throw them off. Don't just go, I'm a fearful person. Don't live that way. Why do you want to give yourself that message? We can give ourselves any message we want. Wait, hey, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. No? Okay, I don't know. Fear's gone. Sorry, wrong one. Not for me. That's the way it is. It's gone. Throw off the fears. Rid yourself of the doubts that plague and tear apart your joy. You know what there is? There is great security for every true believer who will never perish, who will never know condemnation again and needs never to know it now. You're a citizen of heaven. You're untouchable by even the most fierce demons of hell. Knowing all of this, you know what? We're coming to the Lord's table. Come to the Lord's table with joy. Come to the Lord's table with gratitude. Come to the Lord's table with hearts overflowing for the one who not only has saved us, but reveals here in the supper that He now keeps us safe and secure in Himself. And that's what this is about. From the beginning to the end, He is with us. He shows us this in the gospel message. He shows us this on the cross. He shows us this from the empty tomb. He shows us this from the table of the Lord, from His table. He is with us. He is with us. As He says His last words in Matthew 28:20, I will never leave you. I am with you to the end of the world. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I am with you forever, to the very end of the world. That is so great. That's where God is. That's the God we trust. And if you don't trust Him now. Don't sit there and say, well, maybe I trust Him, maybe I don't, who cares, it doesn't really matter. I don't need to listen to this stuff anyway. If you're thinking you don't need to listen to it, then you really need to trust in Christ. You need to beg Him to open your heart to hear His word, to hear His truth, so that you might be saved from your sin and come to that place where you're delivered from it all and made to be who you are in Christ, a brand new person. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the security we have. Thank you that no one can snatch us out of Christ's hand. No one can snatch us out of your hand, that we are hid with Christ in God. We are safe. Totally safe. Totally secure in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our feelings. Our feelings betray us, Father. This happens all the time. Sanctify everything about our lives, including our feelings. Help us to resolve to think and feel in ways that are honoring to you, that are not just movements of our inner being that come up that we think are unable to be checked by us, but rather give us the sense of the power that you've given us in the Spirit to think your thoughts after you and to feel as you have felt, to experience the fullness of Christ in every day and every moment of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.